My first Unity Church service was at Unity of Portland in 1980, and I will never forget it. I sat in the back row near the door because I wasn't sure what to expect, and I wanted to be able to make a fast exit if I had to. Can any of you relate? But as the church service began to unfold, I started to relax. And then I was filled with wonder, because the opening prayer began with, "Mother, Father, God." The platform host said that all people are welcome here. The music was positive and uplifting, soul-filling, like what we just heard. And when the minister talked, I noticed that I didn't have to mentally translate what he was saying in order for it to have meaning for me. During the meditation, there was a minute of blissful silence. And at the end of the service, we sang the peace song, which I happened to have learned as a Brownie Scout in the second grade. So by the end of the service, I was in tears, and I had found my spiritual home. Still, I left that service with a lot of questions, like, what is unity? Is it Christian? Why have I never heard of it before? Kind of like, where has it been all my life? Is unity the same as Unitarian? Is New Thought the same as New Age? So many questions I had. Well, you may have many of those same questions. So today is my day, another day of covering the basics. So first of all, what is unity? Unity is a spiritual movement that was founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in Kansas City in 1889. And here is how Charles Fillmore described it. Unity is a link in the great educational movement inaugurated by Jesus Christ. Our objective is to discern the truth in Christianity and prove it. The truth that we teach is not new, neither do we claim special revelations or discovery of new religious principles. Our purpose is to help and teach mankind to use and prove the eternal truth taught by the Master. That's a lot to digest. So what can we glean from this? First, that unity is a practical approach to Christianity. It's about proving these principles. It's about living these principles. It was founded as an educational movement, not as a Christian denomination. It doesn't claim to have special or unique insights, like we've got this all figured out and everybody else is wrong. You'll hear more about how it came to be in a little bit. It is non-dogmatic. Everybody here knows that, right? You don't have to sign on to a creed. You don't have to believe a certain way or make some kind of a statement. No dogma. The focus is on how to live versus what to believe. And it is based on the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus. So that's a really important point, because unity focuses on the teachings of Jesus rather than the teachings about Jesus. So the teachings of Jesus are what Jesus taught about God, humanity, life, and how to live it. So things like, love thine enemy, turn the other cheek, forgive 70 times 7, and on, right? On the other hand, the teachings about Jesus are the doctrines that were adopted by the organized Christian church when it formed centuries after Jesus' death. These doctrines tend to be more about who Jesus was, why he died, and what that meant. So, unity is a Christian path, but it's a different kind of Christianity. And let me just remind you, as I have said so many times, there are many, many, many kinds of Christianity, and there always have been from the very beginning. There is no one right path in Christianity. So in unity, we say that we are Christian because we take Jesus to be our way-shower, our master teacher, as we say. He's our guiding light. He's the example that we want to follow. At the same time, unity does not embrace the core tenets of more traditional Christianity. For example, we in unity do not teach that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. Rather, we teach that we are all children of God, or put perhaps a little bit more precisely, we are all expressions of God. Unity does not teach that Jesus was born of a virgin. We see his parents as being Mary and Joseph. Unity does not teach the doctrine of original sin. Rather, we teach that we are all born innately good in what we call original blessing. Unity also does not teach traditional ideas about heaven or hell in the afterlife, that you go to the good place or the hot place. Unity teaches rather that these are states of consciousness in this life. We've talked about this before, that we create our own heaven or hell according to what we choose to think. And we experience that every single day, do we not? Unity also does not teach that God is a super being, a male, white beard, old guy up there in the sky, watching us, judging us, punishing us if we get out of line. No. Again, we follow what we understand to be Jesus's idea of God. And it isn't really defined specifically in unity. The closest I could say, actually, with one power would be a really good way of describing it, right? It's presence. It's a consciousness, an intelligence, an energy that is all good, all loving, and everywhere present, that is the truth of who we are. And finally, unity does not teach that the Bible is literally true. As we like to say, we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. That means that we study the Bible, we learn from the Bible, but we treat it as history and as allegory. So it's a different take on these concepts that we sort of interpret them metaphysically to apply them to our lives today. And in this way, I think that unity really resembles those early, I think I might have mentioned it last week, even these Jesus movements that sprung up right after Jesus' death, these groups that formed, they were kind of study groups, really, trying to figure out how to apply his teachings. And so the whole idea is to become more like him, right? We want to be able to relate to God and ourselves and each other the way Jesus did. We want to practice what he preached. We want to show up in love and compassion. In unity, we say that Jesus epitomized the Christ. Important for you to understand that we use that word Christ in a little different way, well, pretty different way than you may have heard previously. In unity, Christ is not another name for Jesus, nor is it Jesus's last name. Christ instead, our understanding of Christ is that it is the highest expression of God in humankind. It's the fullness of God expressing in human form, and Jesus epitomized it. But we also believe that that same Christ potential is in all of us, that we have it in us to rise to this same level of high consciousness that he lived from. And indeed, we think this is what his ministry was all about, trying to help us understand what was available to us through the power within us, saying, what I have done, you shall do too, and greater things still. So when the Fillmores were forming unity, they were focusing primarily on the teachings of Jesus as they could be applied in our lives today, and they drew very heavily from a group you've heard about before, the Transcendentalists. So as a review, the Transcendentalists were sort of this collective of writers and philosophers, ministers and activists who gathered in New England in the early to mid 1800s. So included in the Transcendentalists were names you've heard, such as Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, Theodore Parker, Bronson Alcott, Margaret Fuller, let's see, Walt Whitman, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Emily Dickinson, and even tangentially, Frederick Douglass. So they had many different interpretations of Jesus and his teachings and how to apply those, and the sort of the three, kind of the big three that unity picked up on were the idea, let me remember what they were. The essential unity of all creation, the essential goodness in humankind, and God is both immanent within us and transcendent all around us. The transcendentalists further saw Jesus as the great example rather than the great exception. Again, an example for us to follow. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "The highest revelation is that God is in every man." That's what we talk about, isn't it? Yeah, that you are God in expression. He also said in his Harvard Divinity School address that Jesus Christ, quote, "alone in all history, estimated the greatness of man. One man was true to what is in you and me." And so he was setting Jesus up again as this, the Christ, basically, the Christ for us to emulate. You know, Charles Fillmore absolutely revered Emerson. He quoted him more than any other author besides Shakespeare. He told every Unity student, you should read Emerson. And when you read Emerson, it's pretty powerful, and you start to see some of these threads that affected Unity. So as the transcendentalist movement began to wane, there was a fork in the road. It was a fork in the road for those who were on board with these ideas and kind of looking for a place to go with them. In that fork in the road, one road led to Unitarianism. Unitarianism combined the teachings of transcendentalism that I just described, as well as others, with social activism, getting out there to change the world. So they were picking up on the part of transcendentalism, particularly about abolition, about the suffragette movement, etc., to be socially active. That was one fork in the road toward Unitarianism. The other fork in the road led to New Thought. New Thought combined the teachings of the transcendentalist philosophy with mind cure principles. Mind cure principles is basically about the power of the mind to heal the body. We could also say the power of the mind to affect outer circumstances, but in the beginning it was largely about healing, mind cure kind of thing. And so Unity sprung up out of New Thought. You can see that, can't you? We have these basic principles. We talk a lot about the power of the mind, using our mind to change our reality, etc. Unity is New Thought, but New Thought is not New Age. It is not, let me repeat, New Age. New Thought is a spiritual movement that started in the late 1800s with discrete teachings, principles, some of these things I've already mentioned, to sort of underpin a spiritual philosophy. It has its own kind of integrity. New Age, on the other hand, is something, at least as I understand it, kind of sprung up in the mid to late 20th century. New Age tends to be sort of a broad cross-section of resources, tools, media, etc., all intended to generate a spiritual experience, right? So Unity is not New Age. However, many people in Unity enjoy New Age stuff, including me. You know, I like New Age music, for example. Some people like sound healing, aromatherapy, crystals, all that. It you can combine it with New Thought, but that is not part of what Unity itself is. Make sense? So because Unity is a New Thought philosophy, there's so much emphasis on the power of the mind, the power of our mind, and the power of our consciousness. And the poster child for that would be Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore. Because Myrtle Fillmore very famously used affirmative prayer to direct her intention, all that power of her mind, to send energy, healing energy, God energy, to the cells of her body, and in so doing cured herself of tuberculosis. It's an amazing story. She had been told in her early 40s, get your affairs in order, you're not going to make it. She started this intentional prayer practice of using her mind to nurture her body, essentially. 2 years later, she was cured. She lived another 43 years. Wow. She was so excited about this, like, wow, this really worked. So she wanted everyone to know. She went out, she taught people about affirmative prayer, and she started a prayer ministry. And that prayer ministry became Silent Unity. Called Silent Unity. You might wonder why. People sometimes think, if I call that number, am I going to get silence? No. You call that number, you will get prayer. But in the time of the silence, that's where the prayer really gets answered. It's in the silence that the answers come. Prayer chaplains, you know this too, don't you? We all know this in our meditation. So Silent Unity grew and grew. They answer more than 2 million calls today. You hear the number every single Sunday here, 1-800-NOW-PRAY, 669-7729. That is a perfect, how many have called Silent Unity before? There we have it, perfect. Isn't it great? It's amazing. It's amazing because in the span of a few short minutes, you can share what's in your heart and they will shift your consciousness. And it's free and it's a live human being and they will pray with you and they will open up your consciousness to see things differently. I used to work there and I know amazing things happen as you work with people to see things differently, to let go of what they're holding on to. So I encourage you to give them a call if you've never done that before. So the Fillmores took Jesus' teachings, the transcendentalist principles, mind cure principles, and then they sprinkled in truths from other religions. Haven't you ever been reading Unity materials and thought, dang, that sounds a lot like the Buddha? And that sounds like something from, Lao Tzu or somebody, right? Well, they knew what they were doing. That wasn't an accident. They were very clear. Charles Fillmore said, and I guess people brought it up to him, he said, we've been challenged that we have drawn our beliefs from theosophy, Christianity, Hinduism, Rosicrucian, Buddhism, and other religious systems, and so we have. Right? We have reached for the golden thread, the truth in all religions, and we have found it, for we have found spirit, one power. He didn't say that. Myrtle Fillmore said, I love this. Isn't this kind of how we all are these days? She goes, I am decidedly eclectic in my theology. Is it not my right to be? Overall is a grand idea of God, but full of love and mercy. You know, when the Fillmores launched Unity, they had no intention of creating churches. They didn't want to start a new denomination, anything like that. They just wanted to share ideas that would help people think and live better. They just wanted to talk about this stuff. They would tell people, go to your usual church in the morning, then let's get together in the afternoon to talk about the common truths that permeate all. And so they absolutely refused to codify Unity teachings, to say, okay, here are the five things we believe. Here's the, right? Kind of sounded a little bit like a creed there. They didn't want dogma. They didn't want doctrine. They didn't want unity to get entrenched, as can happen when you're holding on, right, to some kind of doctrine. And so it wasn't until the late 1980s, that the five principles appeared. The five principles did not come from the Fillmores. It came from their great-granddaughter, Connie Fillmore Bazzi, when she was the CEO over at Unity headquarters, and they kept pressuring her, give us something. People want to know what Unity teachings are. Would you write this article for Daily Word and give us something we can put in there? So finally, she's like, okay. She gives it her best shot, and voila, we have the five Unity principles. Although, of course, in Unity, there's so many different thoughts. There's also the 13 principles, and there's the 8 principles. But you know about the five principles. So here they are. The five principles. God is absolute good and everywhere present. We hear that a bunch. But here's what I want you to hear. There's one power. There's not two powers. It's not God and Satan. There's not good and evil. There's one power that permeates all. And where the evil or that kind of thing results, it's a product of our free will and our inability to stay in alignment with that. Second, human beings are in essence divine. We've talked about that a bunch today. Beautiful realization. Human beings create their experiences by the activity of their thinking. You know this to be true, right? We do. What am I going to think when I start my day today? Is this going to be a good day? Is this going to be a bad day? Am I tired or am I energized? Whatever you choose to think is going to pave the way for your day. Prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God mind and therefore brings forth wisdom, healing, prosperity, and everything good. We're very prayer focused because it's how we apply the power of the mind. Knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. A person must also live the truth that he or she knows. In other words, not enough sitting here and say, I agree with that. You got to go out there. You got to live it. You got to put these principles into practice. So that's a lot to remember. I'm going to give you a really easy way to remember it. The first one is telling you God is. The second one is telling you I am. The great I am presence is the truth of who you are. The third one is telling you I think. This is how I use my power of my mind. I think. The fourth one, I pray. I pray. That's part of how I live these truths. And the fifth one is I act. So it boils down to this. God is, I am, I think, I pray, I act. Say it with me again. God is, I am, I think, I pray, I act. And now, because I want you to really remember this, I'm going to show you something I made up over the weekend. It goes like this. God is, I am, I think, I pray, I act. God is, I am, I think, I pray, I act. Nice, right? You know, today, with so many people leaving church, with so many people challenging traditional church dogma, with this exponential growth in the number of people identifying as spiritual but not religious, it seems that the world is turning our way, does it not? It feels like the tide is kind of turning towards us. You hear more and more spiritual leaders from different denominations sounding a lot like unity, whether they've ever heard of us or not. And we've got some friends in high places. We do. We got some folks who are really pulling for us. You know, the late Bishop John Shelby Spong said that unity, or something very like unity, would be the Christianity of the future. He was Episcopalian. Bishop Carlton Pearson, who I'll have the joy of interviewing at the end of this month, rising star in the evangelical movement, left it, now looks at unity and says, you guys are the way of the future. You know, there are a lot of famous folks who have been on board with unity for a while. Just for fun, I'll share with you Betty White. Went to Unity Church. Maya Angelou wanted to become a Unity minister, and in the end of her life, they actually made her an honorary Unity minister just a few weeks before she passed. Oprah Winfrey reads the Daily Word every day and has for decades. I'm told she has someone whose job it is to make sure the Daily Word is available wherever she goes. Denzel Washington and his family read the Daily Word too, just saying. And this one's really juicy. I've mentioned it once before, but it is said that Joel Osteen's father used to go down to Unity of Houston and hear the sermon, and then he would rework the message to work for his more traditional congregation. And who knows, that may be why when you listen to Joel Osteen, you think, man, that sounds a little bit like unity, doesn't it? I think you know this already, but let me say it again if you don't know it. I love unity with all my heart. It has changed my life. And I know many of you feel the same way. I love our principles. I love the people. I love the communities. I love the way it all makes sense. It all comes together and it works when you work it, kind of a thing. And as much as anything, I love the way it feels. Don't you? I love the way it feels. Yeah. For me, it feels, when I'm coming from this consciousness, I feel loved and connected, joyful and free. And you know, when you think about it on our spiritual path, isn't the feeling what we're really after most of all? We want to experience the divine. We want to have an innate sense of knowing that we're all connected. We want to feel that power and energy within us, just ready to apply that out into the world for our highest good. Unity gives us the tools to change our lives and to change the world and to have a glorious journey the whole time. So I brought along to close today, this is a sort of emotion shared, how one person experienced unity, one of our friends in high places. You may have seen this clip before, but this is Maya Angelou.
Are there books that you read, or when Maya Angelou needs comforting, what do you use?
I'm a student of unity. And there's a book called
The Unity Church.
Unity Church. Mm-hmm.
Maya first discovered the Unity Church in her 20s after her voice coach and mentor, Fred Wilkerson, invited her to a service there. Founded in 1889, Unity is a Christian movement that emphasizes affirmative prayer and education as a path to spirituality.
I took a course in Unity about 2 years ago online, not to become a member, a minister, mm-hmm. but just to understand more deeply. There's a book called Lessons in Truth.
Wow.
And in the book, there's a line which is, God loves me. And when I came to read it to my then mentor, Frederick Wilkerson, the late Frederick Wilkerson, mm-hmm. I read, God loves me. And he said, read it again. And I said, God loves me. He said, read it again. Mm. Read it again. And finally, I said, God loves me. It still humbles me that this force which made leaves and fleas and stars and rivers and you loves me. Me, Maya Angelou. It's amazing. I can do anything and do it well. Any good thing, I can do it. That's why I'm who I am. Yes, because God loves me and I'm amazed at it and grateful for it.
Harpo. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that touch your heart? That's what it's all about. Let's just take that feeling into our meditation, shall we? I invite you to close your eyes, feel your feet on the floor, breathe in God. Breathe out into oneness. Allow your body to relax. Let go. Whatever you may be carrying these days, whatever may be heavy on your heart, for this time, just let it go. And open your mind and your heart to this brilliant, beautiful light of spirit pouring in on you, filling you up, energizing you, calming you. Your wellspring for all the love and wisdom, clarity, hope, faith, and guidance you could ever want. Right there, alive in you. You are loved. You are whole, and you are worthy. And you are powerful beyond measure. I invite you to take that awareness into your heart. Allow spirit to feed your soul for a few moments in the silence. feel gratitude beginning to bubble up within us. Just taking a moment to appreciate our shared journey of spiritual awakening, the blessings of the one power, one presence pouring in on us, the truth that we are growing by the moment, by the day, in ever greater awareness. We're so grateful for this. We're so grateful for each other, grateful for unity. Thank you, God. So it is. Amen.
Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding vision. Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your
good. This is a time in our service for the sharing of our love offering in support of this amazing spiritual community. I invite you to give and give generously. We are moving into the fourth quarter here. Very appreciative of your